All right, guys, this is the fourth and final training session on doing outreach, stories of anti-Semitism style. And so I hope that you've enjoyed the other sessions so far. Maybe you've just skipped directly to this session, which is fine. Hopefully, as you listen to me talk in this session, maybe you'll want to go back and review some of the others. I think I'd specifically tell you to go back and review the first session. Yeah, the first session or two about rising anti-Semitism. That will really help you dialogue with people on this issue. It's good to know something about the issue if you're going to go talk with others about it. So that's the subject of this last session then, is how to talk with people, and specifically how to talk with people about anti-Semitism as you use our Stories of Anti-Semitism survey. This session won't be long, but I just want to cover the basics so that you know how to navigate the survey. You know, I want to say one thing about using surveys, because a lot of people go, man, I'm an introvert, or I'm not that outgoing, and I just don't know how to just walk up to a stranger. You guys, to walk up to someone and say, sir, do you have a couple of minutes for a four-question survey about anti-Semitism, is super easy, and it creates immediate context for a conversation. And so that's one of the reasons why we like the survey, but also we like the survey because it gets Jew and Gentile alike talking about this issue that's actually really important. So that's why we do the survey. I want to walk you through the four questions that we ask, or the four main questions that we ask in the survey, and a few sub-questions that can be asked too. So let's just go first through questions 1, 2, and 3, because these are warm-up questions. These are questions to get people talking, but sometimes there's jump-off points even within the asking of these first questions. So the first question on the survey, and by the way, you can go to storiesofantisemitism.com/survey, and you can pull it up on your phone or your iPad or whatever. And I actually recommend that for people going out on outreach, that they just have the survey ready on their phone. The questions are there. You can type the person's answers into the page and hit submit, and then it goes into our database. And we like to keep the data that we record, plus some of the stories that we learn as well. And there's a place to enter people's stories in. So let's talk about the first question to the survey. I've just walked up to a person and I said, sir, can I ask you a few questions about anti-Semitism on a survey? And the guy says, sure, why not? At that point, then I'd say, okay, great. My name's Jeremy. What's your first name? I like to get their first name because there is actually a place for the name in the survey that just kind of legitimizes all of our results. But we, from that point, after we get their name, we say, do you know what anti-Semitism is? And the person says yes or no, right? And there's a place to note that. And then we say, but how would you define it? And that's really important because the definition of anti-Semitism sometimes, specifically, I think, by people who, they may not be anti-Semitic, but they might be. They might kind of lean towards the Palestinians or the Arabs on the Palestinian issue. They'll say, well, anti-Semitism is hatred against all Semites, and Jews aren't the only Semites. Well, that's true, technically, but actually the word anti-Semitism was invented by the Nazis and has been used from the Nazi times all the way up till present to refer to the hatred of Jewish people. Okay, so I like to set the record straight with people who say that, mostly because I don't want to tolerate anti-Semitism. I want to be bold in saying, well, let me just share a little bit of information with you. And we don't have to be combative in saying it. We could be respectful in saying it. But to me, that's important. If you don't want to say it, that's okay. But do they know what anti-Semitism is? Yes or no? How would they define it? Most people are going to say prejudice or hatred or ill feelings toward Jewish people or Judaism. All of those things work fine. Mostly what we're looking for here is, do they realize that anti-Semitism is against Jewish people, that it affects Jewish people? All right. Question number two. Did you know that anti-Semitism is at its worst in at least 40 years? The reason we know that is because the Anti-Defamation League has been tracking hatred, specifically Jewish hatred, since 1979, has said that they've never seen anti-Semitism this high since they started in 1979. So that's just a yes or no question. Lots of people will say, no, I didn't know that. What I'd like to do is follow up and say, why do you think that is? Or if someone says, yes, I did know that, and they say it kind of resolutely, I'll say, well, how did you know that? Are you paying attention to this? And they might say, well, I'm Jewish, which is always helpful to know in our conversations. So that's question two. From there, you know, we can move on pretty quickly from those first two questions, although sometimes you just sense that maybe you can probe a little bit deeper into why they care so much about anti-Semitism, and maybe you can have some healthy conversation there. But let's say you didn't, then we're going to move on to question number three. Question number three is, have you or someone you know ever experienced anti-Semitism? Obviously, if this person's Jewish, or, well, if they're Jewish or they have Jewish family and they say, yeah, I've experienced it, or I've experienced a lot, you know, the first thing we want to say is, man, I'm sorry that's happened to you. And then in a sensitive tone of voice, we want to say, well, could you tell me what happened in at least one of your experiences, right? And we really want to know their story of anti-Semitism. That's why we call it stories of anti-Semitism, because we want to capture their stories, and then we want to tell their stories to others so that we can humanize the issue of anti-Semitism. So we ask them to tell their story. They tell their story. Of course, this is a very sensitive issue, and so we don't want to be cavalier about it or just act like it's not a big deal to us. We really want to listen. We might want to ask questions as they tell the story, like, how did that feel? Do you know what triggered the action? How did you react to it? How did your family react to it? Or one of the questions I like to ask is, what do you wish someone would have done? After they share all of that, we'll ask them, you know, we'll kind of take some notes and we'll tell them that we're taking notes. And then we might say, you know, would you be willing to tell your story of anti-Semitism on camera, even anonymously? Or would you at least be willing to go to our website and write it down so that we could share it anonymously? They may say yes, they may say no. Of course, if they say yes, come grab me, because then we'll do the camera work with that person. So that's question number three. Question number four, and I always kind of preface this question with, okay, here's kind of the controversial question. I like to be real personable with people, and I kind of like to keep I like to keep it as light as possible, because it is sort of an intense subject. So I'll just be pretty kind of light in how I approach things. So I'll say, well, last question here, a little bit controversial, but do you think Christians or Christianity are anti-Semitic? We'll let them answer. Sometimes people actually take a second to think about that. It's because they're trying to be fair. Strangely enough, they don't want to throw all Christians under the bus, or they're trying to think, you know, should Christians be anti-Semitic, or are some just anti-Semitic? Which is great. You know, I'll just tell people, hey, what's your knee-jerk response to that question? And then they tell it, and I'll say, well, why do you say that, right? Have you had some experience with Christians in your past? Have you been to church? Is there something that they did that made you think that, right? At that point, now we're in a spiritual discussion. This is great, right? Whether they're Jewish or not, we're in a spiritual discussion with them, because we're talking about their perceptions of Christianity. It's always good, I think, at this point, you don't have to do this, but it's always good to just kind of self-admit that, hey, Christians have done some really cruddy stuff to people over the centuries, you know. And we don't have to start naming things, but of course we know in our minds the Crusades as a great example, and most people would cite the Crusades. So it's good to admit that. It's also good to tell people, hey, Jesus is, he understands that his followers are human and imperfect. That's actually part of the Christian message. And so I like to implore people not to judge Jesus by his followers, because we're broken and we mess it up and misrepresent him sometimes. And that's good for people to hear. A lot of people will say, okay, that makes sense, right? That might get us then into conversation about, well, who's Jesus really? And what did he really say? And how perfect was he really, you know? And why do Christians love him so much? So you might end up going down that road, or things might drag out a little bit longer. The person might say, well, da-da-da-da-da, I don't like Christians because of this. or this or this. I remember one young lady one time, she told me that all the Christians that she could think of that were awful, and they were all presidents. They were like Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and Donald Trump. And I'm going, whoa, hold on a second. I don't know why you just listed them as like the exemplary Christians, but let's just kind of talk about the breakdown in logic here, or the misconception here, for just a second. And so what we're really trying to do is just get them to clarify their responses and their standpoints, and interject thoughts into the conversation where we're presenting them with the truth about Jesus, with the truth about Christians or Christianity. And hopefully within that, being able to say to the person, do you care if I just tell you what Christians truly believe in general or specifically about Jesus? Or, you know, maybe we bring it back to anti-Semitism. Can we tell you what Christians truly believe about anti-Semitism, about Jewish people, right? Because if they're Jewish, this is actually a really good thing to share with them. Can I tell you why it's ridiculous that a Christian would be anti-Semitic? And of course, the first one, and most people already know this, but it's good to say it out loud. It's totally antithetical for Christians to be anti-Semitic, because Jesus was Jewish, right? And his mom and his dad were Jewish, and all of his first disciples were Jewish. And actually, thousands of his first disciples were Jewish. So Christian anti-Semitism is actually an oxymoron. So we get through all of that. Hopefully what we end up doing coming off of that fourth question is having a good, decently long, healthy conversation with a person that reveals more about who Jesus truly is to them. Some conversations end abruptly. The person's going, well, I'm all done with the survey. I'm out of here. Other people, they keep responding to your questions because you're showing real interest and you're asking them questions that just make them feel like they should answer, right? I've noticed that a good 30-minute conversation is not out of the ordinary. There's been times when I've talked with people, complete strangers that I've never met before, for an hour and a half. And so take your time here. We're interested in quality, not quantity. Now, along that same lines, you know, I mentioned that we talk with people sometimes a long time after the survey has ended. And so when I sense that the conversation is over, I mean, hopefully maybe we've just prayed a prayer with someone and led someone to the Lord, but let's just say we didn't. But then the way to end the conversation would, number one, be to say, hey, I realize we just went way past the anti-Semitism survey here, but do you care to keep talking? Or thanks so much for talking past the survey. At that point, then we want to thank them for their time. Let them know that the Christian community in their area is standing with the Jewish people and that we're aware of the threat of rising anti-Semitism. That's how I like to end every conversation. At that point, then, I'll give them one of our stories of anti-Semitism cards, and we'll make sure to equip you with those before you go out. But then they can go to our website, they can check it out, they can listen to the stories, and then let them know, you know, if they're a Christian, they can take the pledge. And if they're Jewish and they want to tell their story online, they can do that. There's a place where they can actually write their story down and send it in. And we do have people that do that, so please make sure to let them know that. Lastly, I just want to make a few final notes. The first one is this. When we're out doing outreach, the main goal is not to take on anti-Semites. You might find yourself in a conversation with someone who's a tad or maybe even a lot anti-Semitic. If someone's loud and boisterous and they make you feel uncomfortable, just say, hey, thanks for your time. I'm all done talking with you. And you can be that blunt and you can walk away. We don't want anyone to feel like their safety is in jeopardy or anything like that. So if anti-Semites are causing problems, making you feel uncomfortable, by all means, you can move on. However, some folks that are anti-Semitic, they're actually kind to us in the conversation and are actually having a very kind of thorough and heartfelt conversation with us. Keep it going. You know, you never know what you might say that might convince them that their anti-Semitism is wrong or move them closer to Jesus. Along with that, you know, when we're talking about anti-Semitism, what we're also talking about is racism. right? We're talking about one group of people hating another group of people. And of course, that's very prevalent in the minds of folks in our society today. There's a lot of division and concern over racism. Now, if someone were to say, well, do you only care about the Jews and not black people or Asian people or Latino people? Well, of course not. As Christians, we care about everybody. As Christians, it's antithetical that Christians would have a hatred for any people of any ethnicity or race. And we don't think it's okay for even non-Christians to do that. So it's good to state that. But of course, our focus is specifically on anti-Semitism. The last thing is this, and depending on where you're doing outreach with us at, we're probably going to run into people who are going to bring up Zionism or anti-Zionism or the Israel-Palestine conflict. The thing that we've had good luck with, I'll say it that way, we've had good luck over the last 3 years in doing outreaches of staying so focused on anti-Semitism and its effect on Jewish people that a lot of folks don't even bring up the whole issue of anti-Zionism and the Israel-Palestine conflict. But let's say someone brings it up. We don't need to engage on Zionism. I'm not equipping you to engage on Zionism or anti-Zionism, but I just think that probably the best response, and it's a fairly simple response for us, would be to say, well, I'm actually a Zionist, but I'm a biblical Zionist. In other words, I just believe that the words of God in the book of Genesis and elsewhere tell us that God wants Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants to have the land of Israel. But I'll tag this on. I'll say, but Jesus is the one that's going to bring that all into order. He's going to bring that all into alignment when he comes. And when he comes and does that, he's going to treat the Palestinians great. They're going to have their own inheritance in Jesus if they know him. And so Jesus deeply cares about the Jewish people having the land he promised them. He also deeply cares for Palestinians and Arabs and every other people in the earth. And so we're not Zionists thinking that Jews are better than everybody else or that Israel's better than everybody else. So that would be a way that we can answer the Zionist or anti-Zionist question. You know, for some students, and if you maybe you've seen videos online on college campuses, you know, the BDS groups and the other pro-Palestinian or anti-Zionist groups, I think they like to use intimidation and drama to kind of get people stirred up. We don't have to engage with that. And if you feel, again, if you feel uncomfortable at all, you can just say, great, thanks so much for your time. Have a good day. And you can walk away. So there's no reason to engage with people who are hostile or yelling or making you feel uncomfortable. That good Christian answer, and this even might be where it kind of shuts people down, because when we say, well, we're Zionists, but we're biblical Zionists. We're Zionists based upon our religious beliefs. Some people say, I don't want to engage you on your religious beliefs, and that alone shuts them down. So those are some of the things that we want you to know as you go out engaging with people using our Stories of Anti-Semitism surveys. Hopefully this session was helpful to you and makes you feel like you know what to do, have a little bit of an idea of what to expect, and you can navigate conversations about anti-Semitism. So this is our final session, at least for now, of training. And so thanks for listening to our sessions. You know, check out our website, storiesofantisemitism.com. We have a contact page. Feel free to reach out to us with any questions, and we'll see you in outreach soon. Thanks so much.